Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Guys, can I just say that I didn't think that it could get any grimmer than recording a Dungeons & Dragons podcast in my car, but I just discovered that I'm sitting on a Kruskit, so...
bonus!
Friendship is forever. Friendship never ends. It doesn't matter what time you're in, you're still a dragon friend.
Gods and monsters seem to haunt the ruined tenements of this third age of order. Legends of the dragon friends run deep here, and it seems that cults and religions have sprung up in your likenesses, racked by schism, doubt, and existential anxiety. It does, however, have its perks, and you have found food, succor, and comfort at the Basilica of Beauty and Sadness, a monumental shrine to the purity of Baston in Drirovich. Now, the abbess here, Nine Sister Mysonia, has told you that the four faiths are racked in conflict, but ultimately under the thumb of a force known only as the Controller, who rules on high in an inverted floating pyramid called Never. This has to be Karsus, now ruler of Netheril, the one true empire that rose and never fell. Under his immortal rule, the people suffer terribly. This, however, is not, of course, your problem. Far more pressing is the fact that without access to a nether lodestone, you are trapped here with them and with him, and you have yet to locate one thus far. Mysonia has left you alone to meditate and prepare for tonight's great sermon. All of you are rested, all of you are back at full hit points, and if you want, you are now free to head back into town, if you want.
So what time of day is it, Dave? Is it
it's the
afternoon?
It's about, yeah, 3 p.m. The sermon isn't for another 4 hours.
Okay. All right. Boy, my big debut in front of my congregation.
Yeah, you felt a little tongue-tied back there.
Yeah, this is... What would you want a god to say to you?
I'd want a god
that everything I'm doing is right.
Yeah, I'm want a god to call me a good boy.
All right, so I'll just kind of just say, good job, everyone.
Well, I guess I'd only want that if I was being a good boy. If I was being a bad boy, I'd want God to tell me I'm a bad boy.
All right, so I'll kind of come out and be like, all of you who have done a good job, good, and those who have done otherwise, I'm very upset
yes,
with you.
Yes, that'd be pretty good. I'd like to do some questions as like a Q&A as well with like a creator or something. That'd be nice.
All right. Could you curate that, Frieza?
Yeah, I mean, we could run through some now if you like, Baston.
Okay, let's do a rehearsal.
Sure.
All right.
I've got a question
so,
here.
Sorry, which, is Frieza like the sort of Annabelle Crab at the Sydney Writers Festival with a deity? Like, is that...
I guess so, yeah.
I thought that this was in the room, but I'm going to say that they're in like some kind of small side chapel now. This has got real kind of debate camp vibes to it.
Yeah, this question comes from Elias from the Murder Bluffs. And Elias says, Baston...
Hello, Elias.
And Elias says, Baston, why is there suffering in the world?
Yay. Verily...
there's a part two of the question. Why is there suffering in the world, part two, and why do good things happen to bad people?
Ooh. Next question?
I just don't think that's...
Who's next?
Look, Baston, I just don't think that that's going to be a... I just don't think that that's going to be a fulfilling answer for the people asking the question, do you know?
Me got a question.
Yes, you.
What happens
Bilge.
When we die?
Well, I know this one. You go to heaven and it is great.
I killed a man for no reason. Just wanted to see the color of his blood.
Okay.
But I'm going to heaven? Oh, this is awesome. I'm going to kill someone
else.
There's no consequence.
Best one, I got a question for you.
Oh, Bobby has a question. Okay, and I guess Bobby is the only one of us who has properly died. So, Bobby, I imagine your question will be very insightful.
Okay, here's my question. Where do you get your ideas?
Okay, maybe we should just take a walk.
While Best is suffering a clear anxiety crisis, actually, Friezo, can you very quickly for me make a perception check?
I rolled a... What's that? It's a 12 plus my perception. So 13.
13. You rolled a 1.
Oh, no, I rolled a 12 plus 1 is 13.
Yeah, so you rolled a 1.
No, he rolled a 12. No.
I rolled a 12.
Oh, I understand. I understand what's happening. I'm sorry. Okay.
It's called Dungeons and Dragons, Dave.
What I did was I rolled... Sorry. Let's just reset for a second. I rolled what's known as a D20. It's a 20-sided dice. What I rolled on it was the number 12. That means I get sort of... That means I take that number, which is 12, and what I add to it is my perception... Sorry.
I will not be schooled on D&D by this man.
Now, perception is based on the wisdom trait, okay?
Fucking hell.
If you go to your character, Dave... I know, as the DM, you don't have a character sheet, but
I'm furious.
If you have a character sheet, underneath there's like modifiers and some of you're proficient and some others you aren't. I'm not proficient in perception. It's just based on wisdom, so it's plus one. 12 plus one. Do the simple math. It is 13.
Okay, 13 is shit. So you.
How's 13 shit? It's a pass.
It's not a pass. It's a pass. I choose the DCs. It's not a pass. 13. 10 is like an idiot level 1 peasant. You got 13.
I reckon it was probably a pass about 35 seconds ago, if we're fair.
Yeah, it feels like it's a pass before.
It's funny how that works, isn't it? No. So you don't know what has happened, but while Baston is visibly wilting at the pulpit, you nervously put your hands in your belt and surprise yourself by pulling out a piece of paper that someone has planted on you.
Out of my belt?
Yeah, someone has tucked a piece of paper inside your belt, but you didn't see it happen.
All right. Does it have anything written on it, Dave?
It does, yes. So you're having a little look? Showing it to everyone?
Yeah, I'll have a little look. What language is it in?
It's written in common. You're showing it to everyone?
I'll read it myself first.
Okay, it's has a simple sigil of a face with... wireframe frame glasses and a kind of eldritch symbol underneath it and a strange wand behind it. And underneath it, it says, "Brother, we meet tonight again by the Vulfin Catacomb." And then there is a red X symbol. And that's all it says on it.
I look up to the crew and I look around to see if anyone else is around. Is anyone else around, Dave?
Just the others, but they're all paying attention to Baston, so nobody's noticed yet.
Okay, I'll quickly only tell the other dragon friends in sort of a dragon huddle.
Oh yeah, no, it's just you. The cardinals all left.
Oh cool. I'll explain to everyone then that I think I've been contacted by the Freezomites. And I'm like, do you think I should, guys? I think my secret religion has contacted me. Do you think I should go? What do you guys think?
What would Friezo do?
Well, I'm Friezo, and he's asking his friends.
That doesn't sound like
Friezo. Well, if Friezo. I was a
Friezo at all, no.
Well, I just, do we need, like, Baston, would you be upset if I missed your big speech tonight?
I mean, I'm going to say no, but the answer is
okay,
yes.
Okay, well, though, Baston, I'll come to your big speech tonight. I won't go to my religion, but I just want you to know I'm doing this for you, and I want you to never forget what I've done for you.
All right.
How you make nice things sound like threat?
Yeah. Why? Yeah.
Friezo.
Well, can't we? Let's do both. I love a clandestine underground meeting.
That's all right. And we'll just go to your guy.
Yeah, we don't want to miss your big speech.
But look, I'm thinking about what I'm going to say. And look, I think it's got to be a message of hope, of reintegration. You know, from what I understand, all of our friendships have been splintered.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but we're together. Why shouldn't all our, you know, religions be together in like a big religious orgy of love, you know?
Are you suggesting we start a new religion now with us about orgies?
No, but I feel like together our religions, it would be more about...
Oh, boy.
Oh, I'm freaking out, guys. I'm going to fuck this up for sure. Oh, God.
The reality is, guys, the religions no longer belong to us, okay? They were started 1,000 years ago in our honour, but in that time they've been taken on by the people who run them, and that's not us. And we can try and reclaim them now, or we can leave these people to live their own lives, and we need and we can focus on what we need to do, which is go back, buy the lodestones, and ruin this empire.
This is incredibly mature of you, I've got to say, Friezo. This is...
I just realised that if we all split and go to our different religions, we're not going to achieve the thing that I want to do.
Okay, so as long as we know that you have some ulterior motive, that makes me feel, in a weird, fucked up way, more confident. Well, you have a few hours before Baston's big sermon, as I said. There's about 3 or 4 hours. So if you want, you can head back up to the city. There was a couple of things that I think you had noticed. Obviously, you went to that bar. There was there was an academic building that you'd seen before. There's the big thing in the sky. There was the woman, the Frieza Maid at the sunglasses hut. You've got a couple of options, or you can just go for a little stroll. Do whatever you want. Have a picnic.
Fuck it. You know what? I'm gonna go to the Frieza Maids. I'm gonna go meet up with the Frieza Maids. I can do that now before Baston's speech, right, Dave?
Yeah, there's time. Yeah.
All right. Let's go to that now then.
Let's go check out the Frieza Maids.
You want us to come
at the Wolfen?
Yeah, you guys come along. Why not? If you want to.
Okay, so as I said, it's just a name at the moment, so how are you going to find it?
What does it say again, Dave?
It said, by the Wolfen Catacombs, and then there was a drawing of a quite intricate X.
Okay, so I might go ask one of the clerics where the Wolfen Catacombs are.
Okay, great. You see Nine Sister Mysonia, who's making a lot of preparations for a huge impromptu mass. You can go approach her if you want.
Ah, sister, how are you there?
Ah, very well.
What do you got there?
Yes, what do you think? Purple or yellow? Purple or yellow? Purple or yellow? And she's holding up two flowers. And she's sort of arranging
Gosh,
them.
Verily.
That's how she's doing it, the abbess?
Yeah, well, it's a big do. And she's a micromanager. You know what I mean? There are people around her going, abbess, you got to plan the mass. And she's it has to be perfect. It has to be perfect for him.
I guess that's fair. Aesthetics do matter a lot in the to the Bastonets.
I would go with the purple. The purple looks nice.
Yellow it is. We have something in our we have a saying in our religion, which is when a sub six says, do the opposite.
Six
brother Bedford nods very smugly for a man who is really just at the cutoff point.
Hey, do you know where I need to go to the Wolfen Catacombs? Do you know where that is?
And why are you asking about the Wolfen Catacombs?
Why do you question my companion? Simply give us a map and do not chit-chat.
My lord, I did not see you there. Of course, if the Wolfen Catacombs is where you
first
wish
of
to
all,
go.
First of all, with advantage, why don't you make a little intimidation check for me, Baston?
Ooh, yeah.
It's got to be quite substantial advantage if she thinks he's her god.
Oh, yeah, this is true.
Her creator.
However, as you know, Ben, the Wolfen Catacombs are very much outside her purview.
17,
yeah.
I mean, David, I'll be honest with you, I didn't know that. So that's probably why I offered no resistance.
You didn't notice me?
By which I mean to say, my lord, that I was so blinded by your radiance that it may as well have been darkness, if that makes sense.
So where are these Wolfen Catacombs?
She takes a little map of... Actually, it's a sort of a weird map of sort of, you know, plenary indulgent arches and the architecture of the city, which you now see is sprawling around the Balinox, and it's on the side of it in a beautiful cursive script is the words New Islinar, and she makes a little mark on a series of viaducts off the side of the Balinox to the northeast of the city.
How many days' walk is this?
About 20 minutes. So I guess 0.03.
Do you need help with scale? Is that the issue? There's a little thing down the bottom that shows the
Oh, I didn't see the little thing down the bottom. Sorry. It says 0, 100, 200, but it doesn't say what the unit is, so I wasn't
feet,
sure if it was...
So.
It's feet. Right. Okay.
Brother Bedford is like, sorry, you thought the city was thousands and thousands of miles across.
Now, this is why we don't let fours in. You know what I mean?
You know where I come from? Ugly people are actually often smarter. So that's just a little thing about where I'm from.
Kooky.
All right, you leaving? As you go to leave, Brother Bedford, noticing that Baston is leaving with you, goes, my lord, you will be back for the grand sermon. We have started the process of rejecting the trollers. When they find out that we are not paying our tithes, they will come down on this basilica harshly.
Fear not, I shall return and take care of all that ails this wounded
He visibly city. Relaxes and breathes out in relief as you all leave. And I assume head to the Old Wolfen Catacombs?
Yay.
All right. You get closer, you start noticing, you get your landings a little bit. Bobby, you start noticing, it's very strange because obviously this is now a very urban area, but by the feel of the sunlight and the wind, and even a little bit just by the position of the suns and the relative position of the Balinox, you realize that you are close to what used to be the old Wulfen villages where you trained at what seems like a lifetime ago. And near the caves that the Wulfen built much of their secret sort of training grounds and spaces and hidden spaces under the forest, you can see now that there are large, almost industrial ramps descending into what looks like a maze of old industrial spaces underneath the Balinox, filthy with the same Icarus grime as everything else. All of the natural beauty of this place kind of completely destroyed, and they lead off into the dark. And you notice that although there are a few of the people of this of New Islanar walking around, people seem to be giving these tunnels a wide berth. And scrawled on the side in graffiti is the same strange red X mark, Frieza, that you have on your letter.
Okay, well, let's head to that then.
You're going to go in?
Look, go inspect the mark.
It's just been graffiti. It's graffitied on the side.
Okay, yeah, let's go in then.
All right, so you head down the ramps into the dark, and very quickly it becomes very, very dark. So
I'll cast my light cantrip there, okay, just to illuminate a little bit.
Using the magic mirror that you have, your new focus from the Laroon siblings, you light blossoms out instantly, illuminating the space and making it very obvious from a distance that you guys are descending in, but now you can see very clearly. It's got a kind of steps down into a subway feel, if that kind of makes sense.
Sure.
Like steps.
Oh, okay. Like you go down to a subway.
Oh, you guys have seen steps before? You understand what I'm talking about?
Yeah. No,
I've seen a subway, but what are those things called? How you get to the subway?
They're steps. Those are steps, Alex.
It's like a ramp, but it's like square.
Yeah, it's a bumpy ramp. Have you ever been down a bumpy ramp?
It's like a corrugated ramp. Yeah.
Bump ramp.
Oh, like a ruffles.
Very much like a ruffles chip.
Oh, right.
Very much like a ruffles,
really big ruffles chip.
Yeah.
Crinkle cut to absorb more oil.
Okay, the industrial shape of these fucking steps soon gives way to natural tunnels as you continue, and it seems abandoned. And you can see these are high vaulted roof tunnels, and above you, the light of Friezo's magic illuminates still the ancient carvings that you recognize, Bobby, as carvings made by Wulfen war pups before they take their combat trials. They come in here and they mark their names so that the walls never forget and that the tribe never forgets them. And those are still there in the naturally hewn stone as you work further and further into the Balinox, and the city seems to fade away behind you before it opens up into a large cavernous space that you do not recognize, that is clearly has been excavated recently. And in the middle of it is a stone ziggurat with burning torches on either side of it and a large cavernous archway that leads into a central space. The air here is increasingly feeling sinister, and all of you are getting the sense, although you can't see anyone, that you are being watched.
I just shout out, hey, what you got there? Secret society? Pretty cool, isn't it?
There is silence, and then a voice booms out and says, what you got there, friend?
Just a little magic light? Cool.
That's all I got.
Cool.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. And then there's a shifting noise as you realize as an illusion of what was the entryway fades away to reveal a trap that is set into the side of the stonework, which then opens up as the defenses of the ziggurat open and grinds into a portal that you can enter.
Dave,
inside.
I think this question is like 6 years too late, but, you know, I'm in my car, so fuck it. What's a ziggurat?
Oh my god, thank you.
I've used cigarettes many seasons before.
Well, I've got this, Dave. A ziggurat is just a pyramid, but instead of being smooth, it's got those things.
Oh, you're like
on
a Dorito. Are you describing like a Dorito?
Yeah. Have you heard of steps? Do you understand? Yeah, like a ramp, but like on edges? That's a ziggurat.
Wait, is it a crinkle cut pyramid?
It's a crinkle cut pyramid.
Yeah, crinkle cut pyramid.
You
exactly.
know how usually steps would go down to a subway?
Yeah.
What if they went up to the top of a thing?
Okay.
I just presumed he was mispronouncing cigarettes.
Yeah.
You
it's
thought
a fantasy
that the future
cigarette.
So I said that Cyber Tokyo, the horizon, was flanked by chrome ziggurats.
Yep, yep. Ciggies in the sky, baby. Flying Barry in the future.
The detective parted the parallel binds and lit up a cigarette.
The portal seems to be full of a smoky substance that doesn't seem...
Yep, that'll be the cigarette.
to stop you from entering if you want to. But there's only space for people to enter one at a time. So one of you is going to have to go in first.
I'll go in first. Sure, why not?
Okay, Friezo, you walk in through the smoke, and as you do, you find yourself in a space whose internal geometry seems to not correlate to the ziggurat that you saw. It's a large vaulted space with four balconies on either side, and in those balconies you can see figures silhouetted high above you, impossible to see them clearly, but there must be dozens of them, as in the center, in a severe white suit, stands another young man wearing wire-framed glasses with a little goatee as he looks at you. And as he says, "Welcome, brother, for you are home. Welcome to the temple of cutthroats and bakers." As he reaches out a hand towards you and to play Friezo the 37th, Larko Pontiff of the Cult of the Friezomites. Please welcome to the podcast, Mr. Tom Cardy.
Wop, 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 wop.
Hey.
Hey, how's it going? You've come just at the right time, brother.
Oh, have I just? Hello.
Of course, of course. This is quite a special evening, quite a special... You've come alone, obviously.
No, I haven't. I've come with my friends.
As he says that, Bilge's head pokes through the smoke, and a moment later, all of the dragon friends sort of huddle in behind Friezo.
Now, it's clear that you're a Friezonian, but these people, these things, I'm not exactly sure. Are they part of the cause?
I vouch for them.
Okay, well, that's good enough for me. Come on in.
You look like my friend.
So he's wearing, as I said, a severe white suit. You realize that the beard and stuff is kind of reminiscent, a copy of a copy of a copy of Friezo's own facial hair. And the glasses similarly opposed. So this is the leader of their faith. And this entire conversation, as I said, is being watched. Your voices carry because of the architecture of the space upwards, but nobody else is talking, and nobody seems to be protecting this figure. It seems like he can look after himself.
Obviously, you're starstruck.
Does he kind of look like Tony Stark?
Yeah, it's like half Tony Stark, half Friezo.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
You're obviously very dumbstruck by my incredible facial hair.
Yes, it
is the one and the same as the glorious Friezo King, God of Thieves, or all praise him, yes. You can touch it if you'd like. You can try.
Oh, try.
Please try and touch my face.
Okay, I'll touch your face.
Whoop! Done a little swoop there. King of secrets. Oh, God.
It's thieves, actually, Tom, but you're doing great.
Oh, God, it's hard to play piano. Let me tell you, I swear playing piano and doing this the last time was a lot easier.
I just love to try and touch my face, Gambit, and then just, what, you can't.
There's a tittering. There is a high-pitched laugh from all the balconies as he swoops back. And he smiles at you, and he goes on to say, "Welcome, pilgrim. We sensed you when you entered the city. You do not know it yet, but you are one of us, and in time, you too will learn to serve the secrets of the great Friezo. May there always be a Friezo." And suddenly voices do ring out as they say, "May there always be a Friezo."
Can I say, Dave, they add, "Never forget what he did for us."
Hey, everyone. Listen, I've got... thank you all for coming here. Thank you for letting me in. I've got a bit of an announcement to make. So if you could all just listen up for a second.
This is quite strange for a newcomer to enter and discuss with everyone, but I'll allow it because there's something about you that's reminiscent of a Friezo.
Thank you, Your Honour. I just wanted to let you all know that I'm actually the person you worship. So... in many ways, I'm your god. But don't worry, I've been a god before and I've got a lot of experience with it, so, you know.
I can't help but feel that your non-interventionist policy on local religion crumpled pretty quickly when you found a physical cult of your being. Whatever happened to you weren't going to be part of it?
A man must have a code. And in this instance, the code is achieve the ends that you want. Now... everyone, hello? Is everyone there listening? What I need from you is access to a lodestone. So can you help us find one, please?
The moment you say that, the kind of... and there was a bit of mirth and reverence in the room. Suddenly it gets incredibly chill. And once you say that you are Friezo, the kind of welcoming figure of the Larco Pontiff, his expression clouds over and becomes very cryptic as he stares intently at you, and any welcoming trace of a welcoming smile on his face disappears.
It takes one thing to pretend to be the Friezo,
mm-hmm.
but another thing to speak of the stone.
All right, look, obviously you need a bit of proof that I'm Friezo. Friezo number 37, come here.
Okay, I'm standing right next to you, so that's a pretty 37. Stupid thing to say.
It's Friezo the 37th, whose father was Friezo the 36th, and so on.
Now, Friezo, lie down on the ground for a second.
No. No, I won't do that. Am I right in saying that I wouldn't do something like that?
I think you are. I would encourage you to continue practicing bodily autonomy, Tom, if you can. This is a strange man who's walked into your temple.
I think you don't. Let me prove to you that I'm Friezo.
Do you want to make a persuasion check?
Okay. But how can I persuade him?
Yes. And tell me how you're persuading him. You haven't given any proof yet. You've just told the head of a religion to lie down on the floor in front of you, in front of everybody in his church.
I mean, this guy doesn't even walk like a Friezo. Am I right, everyone?
Oh, yeah, that's right. Oh, he doesn't walk like a... Hey, by the way, I didn't know that anybody could just get up and sort of say something.
That's not...
Because when I joined, I sort of had a little thing I wanted... You know what? It's fine. It's not the time.
I gotta say, Jeb, we gave you your 5 minutes and you had everyone's attention and you blew it.
Okay, well, I didn't blow it. The acoustics are really bad. And
I don't have a problem with the acoustics. I can hear everything really well.
Well,
see, exactly. He's all the way up the back as well.
Yeah, Tim, you're always up the back and you're always sniping.
I hear everything. I hear everything and I see you, Jeb. I see you.
Oh, look, if you wanted the role of assistant treasurer, you should have run for it fair and square. But you missed the meeting, didn't you?
Sorry. Guys, just to tap the brakes on this fun little riff we're having here, I know we're all doing... I just think that as we're playing the game, what we need to do is respect the characters we're all playing. And I think if these people are all acolytes of the Friezo religion, they're probably a little bit cooler.
No, I think we've got their coolness level pretty much bang on.
Are you sure?
I don't think we need any recalibration on the coolness.
No, I think this
I will say, that
that one person says the argument between Jeb and Tim dies down, and one person from the darkness says, "I killed a dog on the way here."
As we all did. Haru!
Haru! Haru! Never forget what he did for us.
What he did for us.
Okay, make a persuasion roll, King.
All right, Dave. Yeah. I'm going
to
do a persuasion roll.
Don't explain to me how this works. I will come for you.
Ooh, what's that? 11 plus my persuasion, which is 6, so 17.
Okay. Knowing that he is safe, that the safeguards of his that his title affords him means that he is protected, he looking somewhat awkward and trying to regain the room before it descends into farts and chaos,
yep.
He approaches you.
Say farts and chaos.
Slowly hiking up his kind of beautiful trousers, and you can see like snake skin shoes. It's a strange look. It's a lot of look. He kneels down in front of you, but he does so with a look of open defiance in his face as he gives you the chance that you're asking for.
No, just for this trick to work, you've got to lie down, face down.
Did you say trick?
Yep.
Trick. Is a 17 going to get me face down, Dave?
And then from the peanut gallery, you hear murmurs of trick, but did our Lord not hate magicians?
Yes, he was one against prestidigitators, of course.
I don't think you're going to get him to lie down, but he.
All right, fair enough. All right, Dave, I attack him with my 9 live Steeler sword, and Freezer just yells, "There can only be one!" And he rolls Oh shit! I'm not even fucking around. That right there is a natural 20, right?
That sucks.
And nine, I'm showing it to you in the camera, so you don't think I'm fucking around. A 9 live Steeler sword, so that immediately kills anyone.
Yeah, Tom, I know you were very excited to play this character.
Michael.
But he...
Gotta say, it was exciting to have a bit of a go playing a character. It was a bit of fun.
Tom, I'm gonna be honest, I didn't expect to roll a 20. It happens so rarely that... But unfortunately, like, as you know, you've just got to play the dice.
No, I get it. I was like, can I tell you, I fully intended to do a South African accent when I came on, and I screwed it because I was thinking so much about the scales.
Reedy limbs flailing, he quickly draws his sword and stabs it through the neck of the Laco Pontiff, who is protected, as I said, by formidable magic and engrammatic wards, but none of them as magical as old magic of old Theros as it takes effect and stabs through his neck as he looks at you in your eyes, and then suddenly a strange expression changes in the Laco Pontiff's face as you see what looks like pain and terror turn into exultation and blessed relief as he works his body forward, the sword going deeper and deeper into his neck as the hushed peanut gallery all stare at the murder of their priest as he finally drags himself up towards you, Ping, and whispers into your face, "There will always be a Friezo," and dies on your blade.
Okay, well, so now you've all seen me kill Friezo the 37th. I guess, theoretically, I'm Friezo 38, but in actual fact, I want to remind everyone I'm Friezo number 1. I'm here with the other dragon friends, and again, I need your help finding a lodestone. So if you could all get to work doing that, that'd be great. Thank you so much.
As you say that, slowly clapping, a figure that looks like quite a tall figure steps out of the shadow, but as he walks towards you, you realize it's a trick of the light and he's actually quite small. He's dressed in the universally recognizable outfit of a grand vizier, and he's wearing a black suit. He's a goblin with large ears as he claps his hands and walks towards you, Friezo, while everybody in the galleries above waits to see what he will do.
Hi there. What you got there? A sinister-looking face?
You need another catchphrase. Surely there's another catchphrase.
Why change it now?
There's something very familiar, but it's hard to place about this goblin, I will say. And he's very well put together.
Hello, Mr. Goblin? Mrs. Goblin? Mr.
Don't talk anymore.
Why?
Well, I'll give you one reason why you shouldn't talk, and then we can kind of go from mm-hmm. there. We've got mm-hmm. guards all up around that gallery with weapons trained on the four of you right now. Sorry, being very rude here. Haven't introduced myself properly. My name is Gribbets. I am the vizier.
Gribbets!
Excuse me?
Gribbets!
That's what I said, yes. I am the...
Gribbets, it's us!
What?
We're the dragon friends. It's us. You remember, I'm Friezo. This is Bobby. You know Bobby. Say hello, Bobby.
Hi.
Yeah, and Filge.
Yeah, Grub Grub.
Yes, I'm...
Yeah,
I'm
and Baston.
I'm aware...
By the way, he doesn't say he's Gribbets. He says he's Gribbins. I just realised.
No, I think we stand by... It's an alternate universe. It's okay, a tiny little wrinkle in time made Mrs. Gribbins decide to call him that.
He's Gribbets in this world too. Okay.
Oh, Gribbets, you don't know this. You don't know this, but... You're actually our lawyer. And I know you don't feel like our lawyer, but you're actually our lawyer.
Hmm. Yeah, see, I don't buy any of that. I'm not a lawyer. I'm a very, very powerful man in this city. And you should speak to me as such.
Yeah, no, honestly, it's a lot to take in. But in the real world, you're our lawyer.
I want to point out, he's dressed as in a kind of vizierish bureaucratic robes. He's not dressed like any of the other Frieza-mites in their kind of strange white suits and cowls. Instead, he's wearing a very severe black suit. It has a very non-ecclesiastical look about it. If anything, it's more reminiscent of the uniforms that the guards were wearing that you saw earlier.
Now, I'm aware of these names, obviously. Every child in the world is aware of these names. I'm also aware, by the way, of a lot of crazy people who go around claiming to be them. Now...
Totally. I totally get that. Yeah, that's not what this is,
okay,
though.
Okay, sure.
That's not what this is. Uh-huh. This is real.
Sure, yeah.
Are you holding a sword through the wrecked and dead body of a major head of faith in the city?
Yeah, I guess. Or I'm holding his head or whatever. Yeah.
Just something normal. Just something that a crazy person wouldn't do.
I know it. Look. No, I know what this looks like. This looks like I'm a... I get it.
Yeah.
I know what this looks like. This looks
like...
Well,
it both
looks
and is bad. It's one of those things that both looks and is bad.
Or looks bad but is good. You think about that?
As he says that, he's fiddling with what looks like a wand, and he suddenly rotates a part of it, and there is a click, almost like a gun being cocked, and you hear a grinding noise behind you as the stone portal grinds close and a tiny wisp of smoke escapes as you are sealed into the tomb, and lights shine down on, true to his word, figures that were concealed in the shadows above you near the galleries, each of them holding what looked like wicked repeater crossbows, trained on all of you.
Well, quick dragon huddle. Guys...
Oh, take your time.
I really,
sure.
Yeah.
Guys, I really thought this would go differently, if I'm honest.
Phil's pushes the head of the other Friezo just out of the way.
I feel like honestly, can I speak openly to you guys? I feel like I've really messed up this time. I honestly thought that if I killed
this
me
time.
That yeah. they would really kind of respect that power and that they would come around to our way of thinking, which is that we're gods.
Right.
And unfortunately what's happened is they're quite mad at me for killing the head of their religion.
Well, you know, we don't own religions. You know, these things are 1,000 years old.
Yeah, and, totally.
And they
totally.
Don't, you know, they don't know us. Like
yeah.
we know each other. They only based on
Gosh.
Our time when we went
yeah.
back there. They don't know all the stuff we done. Excuse me, this gas in this cave is very noxious.
Oh.
Now, as I said, the acoustics in this place are bordering on magical. So this
oh, yeah, okay, fair enough.
Is spiraling up to the balconies of these Friezos who are suddenly seeing what is probably the most interesting inaugural entrant of a new member of the faith that they've ever seen. And another one of the figures pipes up at this point and he goes, "It is true if he... We all saw him slay the Friezo. He does have rights to the title," and a figure of a very old figure on a white suit leans down and says, This is blasphemy. This is our temple, Gribbets. You have no power here.
And who are you? Sorry, mate, you didn't introduce yourself.
I am the law master of this temple. My name is not important.
Oh, every name important.
It's a stupid name. You don't want to hear it.
What do you mean?
Oh, no. I have as much status as I'm likely to have in this scene now while you don't know my name. If you hear my name, I'm only going to lose stature.
And Gribbets, we all want to know Gribbets says, oh, old cockfingers, be silent.
No, Gribbets. You know the law and you know the lore. He says, and
are
he
you,
says,
are you, sorry, that was, this is hard because this is spoken. Were you, cockfingers,
law with
were
a
you
w?
Saying the law with a W and then with an O-R-E?
Yeah, it's good. Good shit, huh?
Yeah, but it's not, doesn't work out loud.
No, but you got it. You got it.
Yeah.
And now you're making a big deal about it. It was just, it was fine. It doesn't hold up to scrutiny, but whatever.
You're absolutely right. This is your show, or I suppose the show of any motions to the dead body. But listen, do you really want me to go back to my boss and say, oh my God, there's, you know, because here's what I'd say. I go to my boss and I'd say, you know what, you know, we're really trying very hard with the Frieza-mites, I get really muddled up. You know, we're trying to make peace with them. Probably not worth it. Let's just, you know, be done with them. Is that really, Cockfingers, something that you want me to take upstairs?
Oh, so wait, you're not part of our group, Gribbets?
No, I have to keep a detachment, which is both my job and also my preference. These are a bunch of freaks.
And by detachment, and also my men who are currently arrayed around you.
Huh, okay.
What your religion, yeah, then?
Which religion are you, Gribbets?
I am unaligned.
He's a reasonist.
Unaligned.
You think you're too good for some gods?
Gribbets is a reasonist, which, yeah, they cast the troller as well. The age of reason and order.
What is he like? Is he like the Christopher Hitchens of this world?
Oh yes, I believe in the flying spaghetti monster. He says, in a horrible little voice. He's a 2009 internet atheist.
Gribbets, I have an idea. What about if we waterboard you and you change your mind really quick?
That's a deep cut.
I have another...
Anyone seen the video of Christopher Hitchens being very pro-waterboarding and then being waterboarded and then immediately being very anti-waterboarder? Yeah,
I have a second idea, says Cockfingers. Padre Cockfingers. We shall hold the Frieza-mite, the new Friezo, for you. We shall hold him here in the cellars below the catacombs. You can report to your master. But if it is true that they seek the lodestone, then I would think we have a mutual interest in finding out why. Do you not agree, Mr. Gribbets?
Yes, 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 of course I agree. Now look...
Oh, I'm going to jump in, guys. I've got actually a pretty important...
We shall lock them in the catacombs and we will return tomorrow.
Honestly, that's not going to work for us. Like, Filch, Bobby, that's really not going to work for us, is it?
We got stuff going on. I mean, me anti-religion, but now me getting a little taste of these guys and me got to say me
In curious. Fact, Mr. Gribbets.
We can't waste our
in
time
In fact,
here.
Mr. Gribbets, it occurs to me that if they are curious of the lodestone, they may... be able to rouse our other guest to give us a few words about its location. Mr. Banknote has still not spoken for several days. Perhaps we shall place them in the same cell?
Oh, yeah, that's good. I like that. That's good because I've got my stuff in the other cell and I didn't want to have to clear it out, you know.
Yeah, you have to move that stuff, by
well,
the way.
Well, no, we've discussed this.
You said you were getting a shipping container
yep,
organized
and I've
you needed a place.
I've spoken to Tim about it. I've spoken to look,
Sorry,
I spoke
Gribbets, why did you have to move out of your place? Did you have a breakup? Is that what happened?
Well, it's a
He had a very bad breakup.
It's a separation. Yes. It's a sort of we're just taking some
She look, doesn't respect him.
Do you know
the
what?
Reason she doesn't respect him is because his children don't respect him. That's the fucked up thing. She can sense it.
You know,
she sees him with the children and she doesn't respect him.
All of this, you know what?
Sorry,
I don't even want to get
Sorry.
Into this.
Hang on. Is that how you think adult relationships.
That's
work.
How this one works. That's how this one works. Yeah.
You know what? He really. You know, I didn't even need to explain myself to you guys, but yeah. Look, we're going through a bit of a rut, fluff patch. My kids found out that I was recording a fantasy podcast in my chariot. Ever since then, they couldn't look at me in the eye. Look, all my stuff is in the other cell. All right, all my stuff is there. So put them in with banknote.
You got rowing machines.
Yes, my rowing machine's in there.
Oh, and your unicycle?
And my vinyls. Both records and my Funko Pop collection.
There is a hum and a grinding of granite on granite as rearranging itself. Some of the balconies shift up, counterweighted by others which shift down. And four of these guards with these bright chrome repeater crossbows arrive. You can see that they are powerful, powerful looking. Three men and an orc as they indicate for you to follow them down into the catacombs.
Can I just quickly, I'm just doing a perception check, Dave, just to see how powerful they look super powerful.
They look...
I rolled a 13. I rolled a 15.
They look quite powerful, yeah. And don't forget as well that critically, Gribbets has, with this wand that he's holding, has sealed you into this place.
Okay, well, I guess we...
Can I whisper to Frieza? Frieza, we got to get to Lodestone. We got to get in towards the big floating pyramid.
Yeah.
So if they're interested in us, then we're a little bit closer.
Okay. Let's go to this Kennard's storage unit then.
No, nobody's going to the storage unit. You're going to the one next door. I want to make that very clear, Cockfingers. That's my stuff. You put them in with the other guy, with the blue fella.
And picture, if you will, two cells lying deep underneath the surface of the world. One of them containing the ephemera of a wasted goblin's life, a rowing machine, vinyls, piles upon piles of Funko Pop miniatures, and a pinball machine that doesn't work that he bought for too much money that he says he's going to restore one day but currently has not. And in the very next cell next to them, the emaciated figure in a ragged shirt and burnt cravat of an Asimar artificer standing stoically, chains connecting his wrists to the bars in front of him, a 1,000-yard stare in eyes that have been unmoving for a day and a half, grimly waiting the figure of one known to the dragon friends that even now approach him. It is a different time. It is a different place. It is a different part of the multiverse, and yet fates have a way of colliding that which is meant to collide. Such is the ways of the weave. Such is the ways of the strands and the ebb and flows of fate. And such is the way, it seems inevitably, of the souls that we call the dragon friends. Thank you.
The Dragon Friends are Alex Lee, Eden Lacey, Simon Graner, and Michael Heen. Our Dungeon Master is Dave Harmon, with NPC voices provided by Ben Jenkins, and live accompaniments and short-lived NPCs by Tom Cardy. Shakira Khan is our producer. The podcast is edited, mixed, and mastered by me, Hugh Guest, and this episode was recorded from our homes in this upsettingly long return to the Age of Isolation. Until next time.
Friendship is forever. Friendship never ends. It doesn't matter what time you're in, you're still a dragon friend. A fucking dragon friend.
Should I put my seatbelt on? Should we?
Strap in. Ben, if you feel that that's going to help, you record this from a car parked outside your house.
Is your car in a garage or is your car on the street?
My car is on the street, and what I really should have done is just move my car somewhere that's not where I live. You know what I mean?
Somewhere quiet. Yeah. You honestly look like a man who's making his last recording before he goes to the Capitol insurrection.
Someone's going
to
like...
It's not going to tell me what to do. I'm doing this for Mo.
Yeah. This is Killdozer stuff. I...
The vest doesn't help.
Somebody take a photo because it's insane. Not help.
Yeah, the vest. It's the vest.
Do you still have your fingerless gloves, Ben?
it's good, guys. And the street that I'm on, the street that I live on, is not like unbusy. It sort of leads to a lovely park where people sort of like to walk around at night. And so there's a bit of traffic. And I would probably get away with it looking just like a meeting, but for two things. One, the handheld mic that I have. And two, you can't really see it, but I have a ring light because I didn't want to use my car's light because I didn't want to run down the battery and have to call the NRMA because I was recording a fucking podcast in my car.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.